Our New Testament reading is from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. In your pew Bible, that's in the New Testament, page 39. Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Hear the word of God. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what's the worst natural disaster that you've ever experienced? How many have been caught in a big storm? How about a blizzard in the snow? Earthquakes. What else is there? Tornadoes. Swamps of locusts. Yeah, there's a lot of... Anybody been really scared when those things were happening? Terribly frightened? I mean, I remember driving out across New Mexico one time and a thunderstorm came up and you couldn't see. We basically stopped on the freeway because it was so scary. Earthquakes, fires, flash floods. I understand more people die from flash floods than pretty much any other natural disaster. It's crazy. How many of you saw the news a couple weeks ago of the cruise ship out in the Atlantic that got caught in the hurricane, and they were showing the water just crashing over and messing up all the special rooms in the ship and everything? Craziness. I mean, you're out there spending lots of money on a nice cruise, and all of a sudden, it's madness. Or the news this past week of the mudslides up in Montecito, Santa Barbara area. Scary. And I saw the one, I don't know if you saw it, where they were standing on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden they saw this flash flood just coming down the street, and they're like, go inside, fast, fast, fast. I mean, it's scary, and you don't have much time, right? So today we're talking about one of those experiences that the disciples went through, the calming of the storm. We're in a series called Jesus' Top 10 List. We're discussing some of the miracles of Jesus. And today we come to this miracle that's normally known as the calming of the storm. This is still pretty early in the ministry, and Jesus hadn't even named the disciples yet. He had followers, but this was still really, really early. Now, I was in Galilee a few years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It's a while. It's been a while. But when we went to Galilee, it was so interesting because as soon as we got there, there was this big banner welcoming our tour, and it was being blown by the wind so harshly that there was only one grommet that was still connected, and it was just flapping, you know. The wind had really whipped up. And when I spoke to our tour guide, he said, "Oh yeah, this happens a lot in Galilee." And you could see, now understand that Galilee is pretty big. It's a big lake. It's not like Arrowhead or something. It's a big lake. It's 8 miles across. So that's about as wide as Santa Ana, right? I mean, if you look from one side to the other side, maybe even a little bigger than that. And 13 miles long. So that'd be us to Knott's Berry Farm or so. So it's a big lake. And they're out there, and it's deep. And it starts this storm as they're going across, and Jesus is beat. He's tired. He's asleep in the back of the boat, which I love the humanity of Jesus, you know. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Sometimes I feel that way. And the disciples, it kind of cracks me up because many of them are fishermen. Many of them have been on this sea for many times. You'd think that they'd be, okay, you know, we've handled this before. You know, and I'd imagine John and James making fun of Peter. Oh, Peter's the big fisherman. Okay, look at him. He's all scared like us. Oh, okay. And Matthew sitting there going, I should have stayed a tax collector. I should have been safer back there. And of course, Andrew starts singing, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, they're just all scared to death. And they run back to Jesus and they're saying, Jesus, what are you doing? How can you be asleep right now? You know, he's just back there. Just kind of almost clueless. And they're like upset at him that he's not paying attention. And then he just stands up and he says, peace, be still. And it just stops. Now, I love the fact that their fear went from one kind of fear to another. Their fear went from fear of what could happen to fear of who is this guy? Sometimes we talk about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the kind of fear we're talking about. Whoa. Whose presence am I in right now? So now a lot of pastors, preachers go straight into the idea of what storms are you facing in life? And they go into the symbolic area. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about the natural side of this. We shouldn't neglect the actual story here, that Jesus spoke and the wind ceased. That's a miracle. There was a dead calm. I'm sure I've told the story when I was a youth choir director and I'd take him out on tour and we took him up to Flagstaff one time. I had about 35 kids. We offload them from the bus in the Walnut National Monument. And the Walnut National Monument is this area where they have, I think, 25 Indian dwellings carved into the cliff. And it's about a 2-mile hike to go and see all these cliff dwellings. And so we go out, and there's this little sprout of a cloud up there. And the members of the youth choir are saying, you think it might rain? I'm like, it's 2 miles, we'll be done with it if before anything ever happens. Well, halfway through, we were in a full-fledged, brutal thunder lightning storm. And it was bad. You know how they tell you to count between the time you see the lightning till the time you hear the thunder? There was no counting to be done. I mean, the lightning flashed and you heard the thunder. And we were all like hovered up into these cliff dwellings. Now, some of these cliff dwellings were not that deep. They were not that deep. I mean, we were like this, and you could literally, the hair on your arms started to stand on end. That's how much electricity was in the air. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, please don't let anybody get electrocuted. They already think I'm a bit of a flake at the church as it is. If I bring back some poor kid that's been fried, I'm going to be in trouble. And of course, it was all about me, not about the kids. And literally, my kids were screaming. Now, some of you had said that you'd been in some pretty scary situations. Just imagine if one of the people you were with during those scary situations stood up and said, peace, and it stopped. Would that freak you out? Okay. We shouldn't neglect the story here. That Jesus spoke, and it stopped. Earthquake, fire, anything, whatever it might be, Jesus spoke and it stopped. It's no wonder that the disciples said, who is this person? So first and foremost, this miracle teaches us that Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. The writer of the Gospel of John wrote this. He begins his gospel by mirroring the creation story. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by Word, the writer is talking about Jesus Christ.
He was in the beginning with God. All, now listen to this, all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. All things came into being through Jesus Christ. Creation came into being through Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews affirms this as well when he or she writes, "But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also created the worlds." The worlds were created through Jesus Christ. So it's no wonder that he is the Lord of all creation. Our Nicene Creed even says that Jesus is God of God, light of lights, true God of true gods, begotten and not made, of the same nature of the Father, by whom all things came into being, visible and invisible. So if nothing else, this miracle teaches us that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all creation. Okay, now I'll get to the symbolism. There are symbols, right, for us in our world today. Some of us face storms in our lives that are not necessarily natural ones. Some of them are. Some of us face financial storms or relational storms or healthful storms. Our health. That was a fun, made-up word. I was going for a little bit of a chuckle there, but it didn't really work. So take a moment to consider the storms that you face in your life or are facing. What storms are you experiencing right now? Sometimes maybe we can get a little frustrated because we feel like Jesus isn't paying attention to that storm, right? I mean, we want to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, can't you see my marriage is in trouble here? Jesus, can't you see I just lost my job? I'm financially in concern here. Jesus, can't you see I'm sick? Jesus, can't you see I'm about to lose my house? Jesus, can't you see my child is sick? My family's breaking up? What's wrong with you? Why are you sleeping on the job?" In a sense, we're saying, "Jesus, don't you care?" Sisters and brothers, the one who calmed the storm with a word can calm the storm in us. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. God cares for them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can anyone add a single life, an hour to their life by worrying? Look at the flowers of the field, how they are dressed. If God clothed the flowers, will he not care for you?" Will he not care for you? It comes down to a sense of trust. Jesus knew what his purpose was. Jesus knew God held him in his hands. Jesus knew his eternal place. So the storms in life didn't concern him. Jesus could sleep through the storms because he trusted the Father. So when you face the storms in life, I would encourage you to frog it. Frog it. You remember that term, frog it? No, nobody's ever heard of that, right? F-R-O-G, fully rely on God. Frog it. There actually was a bracelet back in the 90s that had F-R-O-G, so that people would walk up and go, "What is F-R-O-G? Oh, I fully rely on God." I couldn't find any, so I couldn't bring them to you today. So, today, we're going to do something a little different. I know some of you walked by and said, "Why do we have a little altar here? We're not bringing lambs in to sacrifice." And right here, there's a little quarter card that says, "Worries, fears, and concerns." This is between you and God. And what I'm going to ask you to do is write down 1, 2, maybe even 3 personal storms that you are facing right now. Write those down. We're going to sing a couple praise songs. As we're singing "Who Am I," be meditating, thinking about what storms you're facing right now. Consider writing those down. And then when we start singing, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, I'm going to invite you to come forward, take your sheet, light it on fire, and set it here on our burning thing here. Our burning thing. I know there's a better word for that. But that gives you an opportunity. The scriptures say that this, the prayers of the saints are like an incense smoke rising before the Lord. And so as you are lighting those on fire and setting them here on our barbecue thing, that allows the smoke to rise up to the Lord, and you are giving it up to God. I'd also encourage you to talk to a trusted friend, even a pastor, and invite them to pray for you and with you during these storms in life. That's what we love to do. So if you'd like to come up after the service and speak with me, one of our elders, I would encourage you to do so. And we'll be praying with you and for you during those storms in life.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. Let's begin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who was with the Father and the Son, is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I picked this praise song because of the second chorus there. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you watch me, catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. Oh, that's the chorus. I'm sorry. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? It's just perfect for what we've talked about now. So let's sing together. You may remain seated until we start singing He's Got the Whole World.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love? Watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
I invite you to stand now. If you'd like to come forward and light your concerns on fire, you're welcome to do so as we sing, He's Got the Whole World. He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got the whole world 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 in His hands.
He's got you and me, brother.
He's got a you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands.
He's got everybody here.
He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got the whole world 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 in His hands. He's got the whole